For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I'm so glad you're here with me. You know that this show is created to discuss life topics, to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today I got someone here I think is going to transform your thinking a bit. His name is Jamal Javanji, and he told me I said it right, so I said it right. It's Jamal Javanji, and he is the best-selling author of Living for a Living. He's a podcaster, a full-time life coach, and he is passionate about serving individuals, couples, and groups on the path toward enlightenment, wholeness, and liberation. And I really love that, Jamal. I can't wait to dig into this with you because it seems like you are really about like the soul and the person, the whole person. And so I really want to get into that. So before we get into that, I always love to start by saying, who is Jamal? So Jamal, who are you? Tell us about you.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. It's such a privilege to be here with you. And that's a great question. The question of who am I? Okay, mm-hmm. I'll give you the short answer, and then maybe we can get into the longer answer as the conversation unfolds. But yes, I actually right now I live in Southern California. I live in a little mountain community about an hour and a half east of Los Angeles. With my wife, live in the mountains. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, it's incredible. I grew up in Ohio. So where I live now it's not normal, you know, mountains and ocean and desert, and you get all the topography. I grew up in Ohio. I like to tell a little bit about my parents. You know, my dad was originally from a little island called Zanzibar, which is now part of Tanzania in East Africa. His heritage originally is from India. And then my mother grew up on a farm in southeastern Ohio, kind of a country girl. So I grew up in these two very,
very different,
in some ways very different cultures. And in some ways there were some similarities, both on my mother and father's side, a lot of generational poverty, a lot of struggle. So I grew up in that backdrop. And then also on a spiritual standpoint, my dad was a very devout Muslim and my mother was a very devout Catholic. She actually wanted to be a nun before they got married. So, and they both were very, very strong in their faith when I was a child. So I grew up in that backdrop as well. So I was exposed to lots of different ways of thinking,
conversations, right? Yeah,
totally. So that's just a little bit about me. I also have an adult daughter, and I have four grandchildren as well.
Oh, how fun is that, right? Come on, grandchildren are the best, right? Yes, I have three, absolutely. And I love them. All right. So let's touch on that a little bit, because growing up with two totally different religions, right? Was that confusing? Was it fun? Was it exciting to find this for yourself? Did you land on one or the other? How did that work out?
That's a great question. You know, I like to describe myself as I was always asking the deeper questions, even as I remember being, you know, 4 and 5 years old, 6 years old. And I observed my mother and my father, and I observed how different their faiths were. And I was learning about them. You know, I would, we went to Catholic schools during the week, and then we'd go to the mosque on the weekends. Wow. And I remember picking up on the differences. And I would ask my parents about the differences and hear what they said. And I just remember thinking to myself, you know, how am I supposed to, asking the question, how do I know which one is quote unquote right and which one to follow? And so that was kind of always a question, but the deeper question behind all of it is I saw them struggle. I saw a deep existential struggle, and it had to do with survival because of the poverty, because of the, where, you know, they're both the generational, just what they've been exposed to. And I saw that the focus and preoccupation with life was survival, and they weren't happy. There seemed to be this deep sense of unhappiness. So I just, that was my deeper question. Why are we here? And that's, right. What's the point of all this? Are we just here to survive and to pay the bills? And so these were, I didn't understand at the time that those were actually spiritual questions. But I was asking them, and I had always asked those questions. And to me, their religious backgrounds didn't seem to address that directly. And so I went down that, I went down the road of addressing the deeper issues of what are we doing here? So,
right. And so do you think that, you know, that religion, played a part at creating a little more stress, or the mindset towards their differences in religion? Or was it just the past, like the poverty and the struggle that way? Do you think that religion added to that and made it harder in the relationship? How do you feel about that?
It's a good question. My perception is that because of their religious, the way they were approaching their religious background was, it was almost like they were on trial, right? And I don't know if they would say it quite like this, but there was a sense of, we have to get it right. We have to do it just right. We have to show up and make sure we're, you know, checking all the boxes and that we're approved somehow. So it was almost like, if we do it right, then maybe God will reward us with survival, money, things like that. So, and then of course, if there was struggle, which, you know, there was, then there was the deeper sense of, we need to do more, be more, try harder. And that of course does add a lot of stress.
Yeah, it really does. That's an interesting, you know, dynamic to kind of grow up in, and seeing both of, you know, those point of views, right? And both of them probably have such beauty in them. So to see, you know, the point of views on different sides. So as a child, then looking at this, and you said you started to ask the deeper questions, did you find the answers to those questions? Like, was that something you're still seeking for? How did you come to terms with that?
That's a fantastic question. Well, the answer is yes. I have found the answers to that, but the answers were not what I was expecting. I thought I would find a new version of their faith. It would be a different. So I went, you know, eventually that led me down as a teenager and young adult years that I thought, oh, you know, well, I'll study. Maybe, you know, it's not my mother's, you know, form of Christianity or my father's form of Islam, but I'll get into maybe evangelical Christianity. And that led me down a road, and I studied and actually went to college, got a religion degree, this whole thing. And I just thought I would have a better version of the faith. But what I didn't realize was suffering, and this took me a while to figure this out, suffering is an inside job. Meaning it's not something out here. So it wasn't about a lack of information, like intellectually, or it wasn't a lack of money, or it wasn't a lack of relationships. I went down all those roads. It was actually something on the inside of me. Because again, everything we feel as people, whether it's suffering or whether it's joy or love or whatever it is, that's something we always say, we experience it inside of us, never outside of us.
Right.
So if I'm experiencing it on the inside, then that the solution must also come from the inside. And it took me a long time. I would go down certain roads and go, I would experience everything that road had to offer. And at the end of the day, the question is, why am I not okay with this moment?
Right.
What's keeping me from really experiencing life to its fullest in the everyday mundane moments? Because that's, I have to live with myself. Right. You know, I used to plan my life around trips, and I love to travel, and we tried to travel the world and do all these great things. And those were fantastic. But I was interested in what will make my experience of this moment what I want it to be, because that's where my life is lived. And eventually I realized, to answer your question, I had to come inside. I had to take a look inside. For me, it was a lot of suffering that caused me. It was a breakdown in my life that allowed me, or really forced the issue for me to say, you know, what is this existential fear that I have on the inside? This fear of abandonment, this fear of loss, this fear of not being enough. And I had to take a look at it. And when I took a look at it from the inside perspective, then I realized, oh, okay, this is about getting conscious. And this is about rewriting the script, so to speak, and really dealing with, and it's energy, a lot of it's energy, letting it go, and then in healing the part of me that I had been running from and didn't know it.
Right. I mean, it's a process, isn't it? And I think, you know, you didn't know it too, because it also comes with maturity, I think, you know, sometimes with, as you, at least this was my experience, as I grew and I suffered a lot, same, right? And we go through all these things, those things also benefit you. Because they make you look, they make you want to find what that is, right? And most of us will probably still be looking for what that really, really is all of our lives, right? Sure. So what is it that you're helping, like, the individuals and the couples with? And I know that you're helping them towards, you said, enlightenment and wholeness, liberation. And I found that word very interesting. And I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? So I want to know, right? This is straight talk. I want to know. So tell me what it is you're doing here. Like, what is it that you're doing with your clients?
That's a great question. Okay. So let's talk about the word liberation for a moment. I love that word, liberation, and really freedom, liberation. My understanding is that human beings will not be satisfied, will not settle for anything less than full liberation. So, for example, you know, in my conversations with people, I always say, if you had control over your life, would you choose to suffer? Would you choose to be upset or angry or bored even? What would you choose? Or would you choose to feel joy and to experience joy and to enjoy every moment that's presented to you and be very present for your relationships and really to whatever you do, to do it with the best of your ability? What would you choose? And of course, you know, nobody chooses suffering, right? Everyone chooses right. The latter. No, I would want to live life to its fullest. And then I say, well, okay, so who's choosing the suffering? Where is it coming from? And if you were free and in control, basically to be free means you have a measure of sovereignty or control over your life. Well, if you're not in control, if you're not choosing this, well, who's choosing it?
Right,
it's a hard question. So right. I don't know who's choosing it. Well, circumstances, it's my partner, it's this job, it's the political situation, it's blah, 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 whatever it is, you know? And it's like, okay, so now what they're really saying is the control of my inner being, the control of my inner experience with life lies in the hands of all of these outside forces. Well, if the control of our life lies in all these forces outside of us, that's not freedom. That means right. They have the control over us. And right. Anytime we cede control of the one thing we actually do have control over, I always tell people there's so many things we don't control, right? We don't control the weather. We don't control traffic. We don't control other people, for sure. We don't control the political situation. But what we do control, the only thing we really control, is my internal state of being.
Yeah.
If we don't learn to control that, or to get that under our domain, then suffering is all we can experience at some level. So true liberation is learning to take the reins, so to speak, of our own body and mind. These are tools. So the body and the mind are tools, right? They're like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we have a car, you know, we drive the car. The car doesn't drive us. If it does drive us, we're anxious. This is why if you're ever driving and you lose control of the car, you're going to feel it. Anxiety, because we're not in control of this. That's how people feel in life, because they realize, oh, I'm not in control of this big thing that's moving throughout the world. And yeah, so what I do in my work, a lot of it is learning. It's a process. Like you said, it's not overnight, but it's a process of learning to take control of these two mechanisms of the body and the mind, which the body and the mind are tools. They're amazing, amazing, beautiful, beautiful tools that have been given to us to experience and create the life that we're here to create. But when we don't have control over them, they tend to, and because of the trauma and the things that we've inherited and experienced, they are going a certain direction. Mm-hmm. And that direction is according to patterns that have been passed down to us. And those patterns.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Take us where we don't want to go, which is suffering. And so we're learning to take back control of these two amazing tools, the body and the mind, and then to even reshape them in a way that will take us where we want to go, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But do you think it is real living if you don't experience suffering or don't experience pain? Because I feel like when I've gotten through those moments in my life, you know, those were so valuable to me to experience the beauty of life. You know what I'm saying? And the joy, the inner joy, that deep joy, not happiness, you know, but that joy. So do you think that it's a human experience that, you know, that with the suffering brings that, you know, that liberation?
It's a great question, right? Because we don't want to suffer, but yet the suffering leads us to so many great things. So the way I like to look at it is, I think there's a couple of points here. I see a major distinction between pain and suffering. I would say pain is a part of life. Right. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. Suffering, however, is optional. And I know that sounds, it can be a little controversial, but what I mean by that is suffering is an indicator. It's like on your iPhone, right? You have like a little indicator show you, oh, you missed a call, you got a text. Well, to me, suffering is an indicator. It's showing us, oh, there's something deeper here that we're out of alignment with. So suffering it's a gift. Why is it a gift? Because it tells us we are straying from what I would call my truest and highest essence or self. When I deviate from that, suffering, there's a discomfort. There's something deep inside that says something's off here, or there's more and we're not touching it. And so it calls us home, so to speak. Yeah. And without that suffering, we wouldn't know. So, I like to tell people, it feels really good to be you, but it feels really bad to be not you. So when you're living a life according to a construct or a pattern that's not in alignment with who we truly are, we suffer. Yeah. So, but when we get into alignment, the suffering begins to go away. And I always like to tell people, we are here. It is possible to live a life that is free from suffering, right? Not pain, but suffering.
I love that. I love that you chose to distinguish the two, because that makes total sense to me. It's like when I have like some of my clients or friends or whatever say, you know, oh, this is horrible, and I'm, you know, it's just, I can't take this. I say, well, it actually just is, right? So you need to figure out what you're putting on that emotionally, because it just is. It's not good or bad. It just is, right?
So powerful point.
Yeah. So, and another thing was, you were talking about, you know, distinguishing the two, and an indicator made me think of fear, right? Because fear to me is also an indicator, like something's off here, something's wrong. You know, that's why fear shows up. And how do we deal with that, right? So I love that you do that with your clients. Like, is this a process that you take them through? Like, do you have a program where you take them through a few months, or how do you work with your clients on these type of issues?
Yeah, it's a great question. So initially when I start working with a client, what I like to start with is a series. It's really a 6-week process, and the 6-week process is sustainable alignment workshop. And so it's a workshop where we go through realignment, learning to see life at a fundamental, at the starting point from a place of aligning to the way life is. Because my experience has been is that we just through culture, society, the way we've been brought up, we've been taught to interact with life in a way that causes fear and trauma. Mm-hmm. It actually leads us away from the way life actually works. And so I always say that if you try to work on specific, because people come to me for a lot of reasons. Some people will see having struggle in their relationships, or sometimes people are having career issues, or they just feel stuck in life and they're not really sure why. But there's usually a specific area. If you kind of get into the meat of the conversation with somebody will say, well, I'd really like to see breakthrough in this area or this area. Mm-hmm. But the areas that people want to see breakthrough in are just symptoms. They're not root issues. So I've discovered that we can come up with a lot of great communication techniques in a relationship, or we can come up with ways to move forward in your career, and all those things are great. But I always like to ask the deeper questions. You know, let's get to the root issue. For example, like, you know, if we use a health example, like, you know, if you don't drink enough water, you may get a headache, mm-hmm. And if that headache goes on for a while, it may develop into a migraine. Now you can take medication for migraines, and you could take Tylenol or pain relievers and that kind of thing. And it will work temporarily. It's great, but it'll come back. And the reason it'll come back is because the root issue hasn't been addressed, which is hydration. So we say, let's get to the root. Let's learn how to live in a way that promotes hydration. That's just a little example here, in the sustainable alignment workshop, which is the initial, what we do is we start trying to address root perceptions of life that in itself begins to put us on a very different trajectory. And it helps us, you know, what I say is people are tired in life.
Yeah.
That meaning, and their energy is drained. And why is the energy drained? Because we're in resistance, right? So we've been positioned in life in such a way that we're very resistive to life. And this is unconscious, people aren't conscious about it. The reason we're in resistance to life is because we're going against the grain of how life works, because we're out of alignment. So when we start getting into alignment, subtly what people start to notice is they have more energy, more vitality. Why? Because I always say it takes a lot of energy to resist life. life will wear you down if you're going against it. So by getting into alignment with life, there's a net increase. So energetic income starts to happen. So instead of being depleted, you start to get deposits on a daily basis. And people start noticing, wow, life feels doable. People start to have a little more buoyancy. And then we have the capital, so to speak, the energetic capital to address the symptoms that they were experiencing, you know, whether it's relationships or career or whatever that may be. Then we get into those specifics, but now we have something, we have energy to work with and perspective to work with. And it's much easier to deal with those issues.
Yeah.
After that point,
that's deep work you're doing there. That's really deep. And a lot of people, I think will really appreciate the journey. I think in the beginning, you don't know you need it because you don't know what you don't know. Right. But in a journey like this, Jamal, I mean, that's a really deep way to really find yourself and find who you are. Like that question I asked in the beginning. So is that what your book is? Because I know you have a book called Living for a Living. Is that what this is addressing? This the same kind of work you're doing with people?
Well, it's the beginnings. Mm-hmm. So I like to. The book is really the book is more of the process, the beginnings of asking people to think about their life from a place of living. So, for example, the reason it's titled Living for a Living is kind of a play on the question that most of us get asked a lot. If you meet somebody, they say, hey, what is it that you do for a living?
Yeah.
And I understand the question, but it really what's typically meant by that question is, what do you do for money?
Yeah.
What do you do to survive? It's an important question, but you know, survival and living are very different things. So I had this thought early in my life was, what if we could live for a living?
Right.
Because I was watching and get back to my parents. I saw them surviving for sure. They were living to survive, but they weren't really living. Mm-hmm. Not in the way that I began to realize that was possible. Again, that's not to shame them. They did the best they could, and they were, doing everything they knew to do. But I realized that you could spend your whole life leveraging it away for money, and never actually live.
Yeah.
So the book is really about, how do you live for a living? What does it even mean to live for a living? What is money? So it addresses money. It addresses your life. It addresses really moving into. So the gist of it is, if you can learn to live for a living, survival comes with living.
Yeah.
But if you leverage your life to survive, you may survive, but you may not actually live. So it's shifting our life's focus and pursuit into a deeper dimension of being, to say, hey, who are, and again, in order to do that, we really do have to start asking some questions like, well, who am I?
Right.
What is it that makes me me? What are my passions? What are the things that really light me up and get me up in the morning, and that kind of thing? And so the book is meant to be just an entrance point into that deeper conversation for folks. And a lot of it's just my own journey, my own story, my struggle of how I made that transition from living for survival to living for a living. So
that's awesome. I love the title, by the way. Love the title. Love it. And I really did. I got it when I read it. I was like, not what you do for a living, but living for a living. I got it. So Jamal, what is your podcast about too? What's the name of that?
The podcast is called The Love Cast with Jamal. And it's really, I started it probably 4 or 5 years ago to be just an extension of the conversation I was having with folks, because I kept having conversations with people, and people would say, hey, I wish we could record this somehow. And I wish we could. And I thought, well, oh yeah, people are doing this, aren't they? We could, that's called podcasting, right? Yeah, we record conversations and put it out for the world to benefit. And that's why I started it. And now it's more of a tool that I use to communicate some of these deeper truths that I communicate in my work in coaching, but I want to get it out there to a wider audience. So that's the purpose behind the podcast.
Yeah. Podcast is fun. I really have a good time with podcasting.
Yes.
Yeah. Enjoy it. So Jamal, before I let you go, I want people to know how they can get in contact with you, because the work that you're doing is so important. And I think that a lot of us miss that in life. You know, we kind of like struggle through. And then one day we turn around and go, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? What is my why? Why am I here? Right. So I love that you are starting them off by discovering what that is, and then finding what it is to not have to suffer, even though there is pain. I love the way you distinguish those two things. So if you don't mind giving us maybe your social media handles or your website, mm-hmm. your podcast, all that, that'd be great.
Thank you. Yes. So my website is JamalJavanji.com. So first and last name.com. And on my website it's kind of a hub. My book is linked there. My coaching work is linked there. And also the podcast is linked there as well. Great. I'm on Instagram at Jamal Javanji, Facebook, Jamal Javanji, Twitter. So I'm all there, but all of that information can be found there on the website.
Yeah. And your name is so unique. I bet you didn't have any trouble finding, getting all your social media handles.
No, nobody has my name. That's for
amazing.
Sure.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. But Jamal, honestly, thank you so much for spending this time with us. I mean, you really dropped a lot of wisdom here today, and I love having like authentic conversation like this, because then we can kind of dig into the meat and potatoes, if you will, of what you do. So thank you so much for being here, Jamal. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Nina, for having this podcast and hosting me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. And thank you so much for being here, because you guys are always so awesome and you're so engaging. And I love you for that. So make sure that you like, share, subscribe. I will make sure to link all of Jamal's information below so that you guys can follow him, work with him, read his book, all that great stuff. So thank you guys for being here. This is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk. No sugar added. Until next time.
This broadcast is brought to you by Winject Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.